Pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm glad you didn't hear that brief little rant I ran on before we came on the air. We got 28 people in the queue here this morning. Room for you. A lot of people just getting up wherever they are right now and getting ready to log in. We got room for you to jump in here and become part of the queue and get the inside scoop and everything that's going on afterwards. All you got to do, again, go to CoachDaveLive.com. If you're watching the show right now, you probably know that. But there are a lot of people who still don't know it. I get emails. Did you disappear? Where did you go? Same place I've always been, CoachDaveLive.com, because the censorship, and we're going to try to do a bit of a show exposing some of that tomorrow. The censorship is just unbelievable. It's unbelievable what's going on. And I was saying before I went on the air that we just have in America, we've heard in the scripture where it says you have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. See, in America, we have a form of liberty. We have a form of it. We're free to do some things. But there are a lot of things we're not free to do. And I was thinking that Michelle and I built this, our retirement home here. And understand that if we don't pay our property taxes, government takes it. So you never own your home. You never really own it. To think that if I were to look at my property tax bill, I have to pay so much a month. I don't know how much it is. A bunch to the schools. I got to pay a bunch of money to the schools to educate my children and educate the children in our community and things that I don't even agree with. That's not liberty. Yeah. Yeah, Jared.
And if you don't pay your income tax, they take away your citizenship.
They take, yeah, well.
They take away your property rights.
There's even a question is whether or not you're a citizen. What even that means. That gets into that sovereign citizen movement and all that kind of stuff.
But see, they'll welcome immigrants, illegal immigrants into the country that don't pay taxes and they don't take their citizenship away. They try to force it on them.
Well, see, it's all happened because, again, the church has permitted it all. A misreading of Romans 1:13, obey the authorities, yada, yada, yada. Listen, folks, we're supposed to be good citizens, good law-abiding citizens. But we're not supposed to be good law-abiding citizens against evil government. We're just not supposed to be. And I'm sorry if that makes you uncomfortable, right? I'm sorry if that makes you uncomfortable. Obey God rather than man. Read the book of Acts. Paul, the guy who wrote Romans 13, he spent most of his time in jail. He was writing because he was countering what the authorities said that he had to do. He says, no, no, no. And so I find myself, we go out to the abortion clinic, and they're trying to kill little baby boys and little baby girls. And I'm out there, and I'm trying to intercede on their behalf. I'm trying to stand in the gap for them. I'm trying to do whatever I can to rescue them. And they come by and they write me a ticket for being too loud or stepping over this line. It's unbelievable, folks, that we all love Dr. Martin Luther King, don't we? Don't you? Everybody talks about what a great guy Dr. King was. Spent a lot of time in jail. And had he not spent a lot of time in jail, maybe the civil rights movement wouldn't have progressed to the place that it did. So we're going to have to make a decision. Do you serve God or do you serve man? You cannot serve two. You cannot serve both. Jesus told us that specifically. He said, you cannot serve God and mammon, money. But listen, the way you serve man is through the monetary system. That's how it's done. Look at every aspect of your life controlled by having to pay or the threat of having to pay or whatever. You buy liberty. Went out on the boat yesterday. I had to have a license to drive my boat out on the water. I have to have a license to do that. Then I have to have a license. I can take, gotta have a life jacket for everybody that's on the boat. I mean, just regulation after regulation after regulation. And a lot of the regulation are good ideas. I'm not denying that. But folks, our children are going to live in tyranny. That's what the that's what this whole thing with Donald Trump's all about. I'm going someplace today. Hang with me. So this whole thing about with Donald Trump and the deep state's all about. What do you think the deep state wants to do? The deep state wants to control every aspect of your life. And now we're seeing it showing up in the censorship, and we're going to do a show on that. Jared Heath right now, Jared, the guy running our webmaster, not only my webmaster, but Jared's a webmaster of multiple groups, hosting them on his I don't understand how it works, right? But he's hosting their websites on his platform, whatever that means. So if you go to CoachDaveLive.com, it's on Jared's platform. You go to AlphabetMan.com or whatever, it's on Jared's platform. There's a lot. Jared's got a lot of them. And now Jared is being threatened to be shut down because somebody complained, wrote a complaint to the to his ISP, to his internet provider, and his internet provider wants to shut him down because somebody complained. And we as Christians, we're supposed to comply, right? Oh, he complained. Oh, I don't want to offend anybody. See, we're at war and we don't want to be at war. We're at war. We are at war, but we're not fighting in this war. Because why? They always say, well, that's a fleshly war. We don't want to fight. Folks, the battle, hang on a second, just a second. The battle is in the flesh. The battle for the kingdom of God is in the natural. The kingdom of God's already established. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. It's a earthly battle. Righteousness is an earthly battle. And the kings of this world are conspiring against the Lord and his anointed. I don't know how many times I can try to make that clear. And we still don't get it. Yeah, Raj.
Oh, real quick, you know, I think the church believes this is not going to come to their doorstep in America.
Right.
In Europe, they are already inside the church, preventing them from teaching certain topics that are in God's word. But what does Ohio do? What does America do? We want to pass the Pastor Protection Act.
Right, right, right.
We have an act that the legislature puts in place that says we're going to protect the pastors from preaching something. Like, that's really going to work? I think of Paul. Paul ran around saying, hey, Romans and Pharisees, do things to protect me so I can keep talking. I don't think so.
No, it doesn't even make sense. See, here's our problem. Folks, are you ready? Are you sitting down? I want you to sit down, okay? Here is your astounding comment of the day. The government is not above the church. The government is not above the church. God is above the government. And the church has given its rightful authority to God, to man-made government. What do you mean they're making the Bible illegal? What? What do you mean I can't preach here? What? What do you mean there's First Amendment zones? What the hell are you talking about? See, God is above the government. And the only way that our nation can survive is if we somehow restore God to his rightful place. Now, here's the truth. He is in charge of the government. He is over the government. He ain't yielded his power. We've yielded his power. We have yielded his authority. We're the ones that have screwed up. That's not what I wanted to talk about today, although we're going to talk about it. Hey, Jared, do this real quickly. I'm sorry. Train of consciousness here. I'm going someplace today. You stay with me. Jared, pull up our schedule. Pull up the schedule. Just because Gary will be proud of me if I talk about our schedule again. I got to do this all the time. September 9th, it's coming up here in a couple weeks. I'm speaking to the gathering here in Thornville, Ohio. September 14th, we're going to be at the Greater Texas Brigade Assembly at the Estes Ranch. If you're going to go to this event, September 14th, let Chad know. Will you? Will you please let Chad know that you're coming so he can make preparations for it? October 17th, we're going to be earnestly contending for the faith in Marshfield, Wisconsin, and also in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. If you're in that area, we'd love for you to come part of it. I know guys are coming from good distances to be part of it because it's going to be Salt and Light Brigade, Operation Save America, Missionaries to the Preborn. It's going to be a good event. November 3rd, Regional Huddle in Bethlehem, PA. We're still firming that up, although I've been the guy that's dropped the ball. I've got to pick that up and run with it. November 10th, Regional Huddle with Coach Dave. Oh, my goodness. I have got to update it because I forgot Iowa. Iowa. Go back up there, Jared. October 3rd, I'm going to be in Iowa. Yeah, it's not on there. It's my fault. I'll get it up there. I'm going to do a huddle in the Iowa. I forget where they are. Actually, we're working on two huddles, one on the 3rd and probably one on the 4th of October in Iowa. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to bring people together. All this stuff, Gary, I'm sorry. I'll get this to Jared so we can get it up on the website. We're active. We're doing stuff. We're moving. We're making things happen. And we want you to be aware of it and be part of it. And the only way that you're going to get a good feel for what it means to be part of this is to come and be part of it. Come and meet like-minded people. What we want to do, try to put people together. So, hey, Chad, I see you're in there this morning. Anything to say about your event coming up here, Chad?
Well, I just appreciate the shout out on that. I've gotten a lot of emails. I'm still trying to lock down a head count of everybody that plans on coming, so that we want to make sure we have enough resources for everyone to enjoy. And we're planning a lot of good stuff. So bring some self-defense items, and we'll do some first aid classes and things like that. It's going to be a really powerful meeting, of course.
Yeah, have you called Lowell Morrison yet? I don't know if you have or not. Call Lowell. Because Lowell is there's another one, Lowell. I'm sorry, man. I get behind. We're doing one. We got a big one coming up here in Ohio. It is September, help me out, 23rd? No,
29th.
We're having a... See, I haven't even announced that yet. So I was on the phone with Lowell yesterday, right here in Ohio, September 29th. Come on, boys. Come on, boys. I'll get you some information out there that Lowell's got a great place for us to have a meeting, get together, do some fellowship. He's got an Estes ranch of his own. And so we're going to be doing that on September 29th. And I'll get all that calendar updated. Okay. Fellas, listen, it's time. All right. It's time. It's time. Now, you just think about where you live. You take your community wherever you live. Who is speaking up for God where you live? I'm going to wait. So I'll wait. There's 40 of us in here. 43 of us in here. And thousands listening. Who's speaking up for righteousness where you live?
Dave, I also just want to say that if you guys will take a leap of faith and come to some of these huddles that we're having, these brigade events that we're having, I can almost guarantee you that you'll meet someone that's close to you.
Yes.
And then that's how you begin building your downline. Is y'all start networking together. Now, I'm saying it may be within 3 hours or whatever, okay? We'd love to have it where everybody's in the same town, you know? But this is how you start it. This is how you start. So, please, you just got to take that leap of faith and just come on and give it a shot.
Amen. And I just noticed Bob Roof is in there. Bob, I assume we're working on an event in your area of Iowa. We're looking forward to coming out there. So I think it's the 3rd or whatever. So, Bob, you don't even have to answer. I just noticed you've been there. We would love to come out there and do two things and two events. I'm typing something as I'm doing it. It's kind of crazy. But I think it's worthy. Okay, y'all with me? Now, I want to anything else? Jared, I just sent you an email. I want everybody to see this. This is somebody's listening right now, I guess. Sandra just sent this to me. She said this. I don't know if Jared can get it up on the screen because I just sent it to you. So I'm sorry, Jared, to pull a fast one on you like that. Oh, I got so much I want to talk about. I need 4 hours. Yes. Jared's going to pull it up. The definition of license, hunting license, fishing license. And Jared says 30 seconds, right? Licentiousness. Boy, that's another word to look up. Licentiousness. As doing stuff without license, without permission. What is a license? Definition of license, according to Black's Law Dictionary, 5th edition, is permission. Boy, there you go. By competent authority to do an act which, without such permission, would be illegal, a trespass, or a tort. So how does your putting your boat on the water fit in that? License to carry a gun. I've been licensed. I thought the Second Amendment says shall not be infringed, right? A well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall be licensed. Is that what it says? No. Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion, but you got to get a license to establish one. You have to get a 501c3 to establish one. You do? Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. If I got to get a permit, it's prohibiting the free exercise thereof, right? Jared, pull the First Amendment up. I'm on to something here. Let me stay on.
While you're doing that, Coach, what makes them competent?
What makes them competent, right? Who gave them the authority to be able to do it? They say they have the authority, right? Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion. Okay, I ain't trying to establish any religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise there. Now, you say, well, Coach, it's not Congress that's making those laws, it's the courts. Duh. It's free exercise of my faith. I'm a teacher in a public school. I don't need the school's permission. If Congress can't make a law, can the school make a law? And where does the school get the right to make the law? Come on, I'm just trying to wake you up. Or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech. Abridging. Jared, there's a good word. There's a good Webster's word. Abridge. To abridge. I'm heading somewhere still. Stay with me. Abridge. To abridge. Congress shall make no law. To abridge means to make shorter, to epitomize a contract by using fewer words. To lessen, to diminish, to deprive, to cut off. Congress shall make no law, right? Go back there, Jared. To deprive, to cut off, to prohibiting, or abridging, cutting off. Congress shall make no law cutting off the freedom of speech, shortening, regulating. They don't have any right to do it. They can't do it to the press, even though that's what they're trying to do. Let's face it. Facebook is the press, okay? Facebook is the press. Google is the press. Nobody owns Facebook. Nobody owns free expression other than they tell us that they do, right? They don't have the right to do that. Or the right of the people to peaceably assemble. I got to get a permit. Got to get a permit to assemble. Unless you're Antifa, then you don't need a permit. See, there's a set of rules for them and a set of rules for us. And the reason they put a set of rules on us is that because they know that Christians are taught to obey the law. See? So they use our obedience against us. And they're always forcing us to get permits. But go tear down a statue. Get a bunch of people with face masks on and go pull down a statue. They don't need a permit to do that. No, that's free speech, right? Wake up! Right, the people to peaceably assemble. So are they peaceably assembled? Pulling down a statue, they're peaceably assembling. And I go to the abortion clinic and I can't gather people. I'm peaceably assembled. In fact, I'm trying to rescue people's lives. Or how about this? When's the last time you were able to do this, folks? Petition the government for a redress of grievance. Jared, what's redress mean? That'd be a good one to look up. A redress of grievances. Redress. To set right. To amend. To remedy. To repair. To relieve. Sometimes to indemnify. Redress. Reformation. Amendment. And so when we got taken to court outside the vineyard in Columbus, we tried to go for a redress of our grievances. And you know what the redress of your grievances is? The elected cabal of judges. They're all on the same team. You go to watch a basketball game, you go watch a football game, you go watch a baseball game, you go on the road, you're always leery that referees are giving you a home job, we used to call it. Homer! Homer! In other words, you're rooting for that team. You go to the courtroom, they're on the team. Do you understand? The judge is on their team. He ain't impartial. Who pays his check? The government. The government does. And so you go to court and you get yourself a public defender. Who pays the public defender? The court does. They're all on the same team. Oh, Lord. I don't even know how to. Other than supporting, fellas, this stuff matters. Stuff matters. Thanks, Sandra, for shooting that to us here this morning. Now I'm all off target here. Get back online. Anybody want to weigh in here? Because I got someplace I'm going today.
Coach.
Yep. 20 minutes. Wow. Go ahead.
The entire system is geared to force you to shut up And as Christians, it's not biblical. It's not biblical for us to shut up. It's not biblical.
And you know what, Coach? When you talked about the court. So what the court does, when the court pays the public pretender or public defender, what they do is then they charge you down the road, and then you have court fines. And so that's what I'm dealing with right now in Florida from all my court appearances. And so what they do is they charge the criminal, and when the criminal can't pay it, it goes into collections. And then what they do in Florida is then they suspend your driver's license.
Right.
So the only reason I have a valid driver's license is because I had a valid one before they suspended mine. But I can't go get a driver's license anywhere else until I pay them their court costs.
Court costs. Court costs, right?
Yep.
Right? And you can't get a job if you don't have a car. I've seen this play out over and over and over and over. Because it's a beast system. Jared, look up tyranny.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
You're in the wrong business, man.
Yeah. Why do you say that, Paul?
The example is I'm trying to get my real estate license.
Oh, boy.
There's so many fees I got to pay to get that. It's ridiculous.
So tyranny is arbitrary or despotic exercise of power. The exercise of power over subjects, that'd be us, and others with a rigor not authorized by law or justice. Do you understand this? Power over subjects without, not authorized by the law or justice. Or not requisite for the purposes of government. Hence, tyranny is often synonymous with cruelty and oppression. Cruel government or discipline as the tyranny of a master. Unresisted and cruel power. Absolute monarchy, cruel, unministered. If the IRS, which is not a government agency. You guys do know that, don't you? The Internal Revenue Service is not a government agency. Tell me you know that.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
So, Coach, what you're talking about, is there any connection between what you're talking about and Dianne Feinstein going in office as a millionaire and now she's a billionaire? Is there any connection to that? Or is it just totally, is that disconnected?
John McCain, same thing, right? Died a millionaire, multimillionaire. How's that happen? How's that happen?
Yeah, well,
because the system's corrupt. Yeah, Roger.
Say this, and maybe this is a little different angle. I'm not so upset about some of the taxes. I don't like them, but I mean, let's face it, I like clean running water and the city provides it. What I have such difficulty with is the extreme waste. And what we are now seeing is the pay to play is just rampant. So I'm not so much upset, and the school system, let's throw that one in there, but you know, there are some things that government, if they were moral and just, could probably handle. There's not a whole lot of them, don't get me wrong. But it's the waste and it's the corruption we are seeing in the last couple of years, more than we've ever seen, it seems like, of pay to play. You know,
what about this? What about the government's promotion of evil?
Yes, I agree with that. Promotion, I agree. I would tie that into the school system and property taxes.
Yes, sir. Promotion of evil.
They're all over charter schools here in Ohio for some of their troubles, but they never want to talk about how poorly educated kids coming out of government schools are.
The kings of this world conspire against the Lord and his anointed. See, that's the point I try to make every day on this show. Whatever you see going on around you is because there's a spiritual demonic influence that's causing it to happen. And in the mind of most Christians is a disconnect. We think stuff's just happening on this earth without any demonic influence. We don't get it. Somebody tried to come in. Then we'll switch.
Can I come in, Coach? I'm sorry. This is Tanya. Yeah. How are you?
Good.
I have to say that the government is not a godly. It is run by Baal. Yes. It is a covenant with Baal. Baal owns Washington, D.C. It is a covenant with Baal. It's nothing holy, nothing good about it.
Nothing.
You know, I also have someone who, a partner of mine on my website, Greg Johnson, who is an expert with U.S. law and code. And a lot of these terms and birth certificates, it's really astonishing you know, what that really means. And I'm going to send you a link, Coach, in regards to that, because that's something that he and I have been working on. So it's very near and dear to my heart, because I know how the government works and how corrupt it is. So there's nothing moral about it, and we have to do something about it. And in regards to censorship with Google, I mean, I am totally banned from Google. They monitor even my Gmail account and block some of my conservative friends who send me emails. So we have to rise up and we have to fight to get this country back. I don't care what it takes. Our children depend on it. And I'm not going to say, when my son comes to me and say, hey, Mommy, why did you not do anything? You knew this was going on. I don't want that on my conscience. And it's moral and just. We have to get off our butts and do something about it. You know, stop complaining and let's do something about it.
Because, listen, I've never seen a football game where somebody didn't get smacked in the mouth. If somebody didn't. We're in a war. We're not in a war. I believe we're in a war. And I would like to be I would love to sit for the rest of my life in peace and joy and happiness in my retirement home. But that's just probably not going to be. That's just probably not going to happen. Do you guys have any idea what will happen in this nation if they get rid of Trump? Do you have any idea?
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
You're on the subject of tyrants today. This a fellow wrote this book called To Tame a Tyrant. He is 85 years old today, be 86 next week. And he and a group of folks back in the 90s, one of them was the ex-governor of the state of Nevada. One was a couple of them were ex-senators, a couple of ex-judges, the ex-commandant of the Marine Corps, General Davis. And that group of people got together back in the early 90s, and they recognized that our country was going downhill back then at a fast rate. And together, they came up with a plan, which is the second section in this book. They came up with a plan for the grassroots people to correct what's happening. And the plan will work if the people will work it. But the thing is, what is great about this group of people and about Walter himself, his very first step in the plan, the very first prerequisite for our country to have a chance to return to its representative republic form, is that Christians must individually repent for not being on the front lines and for not doing and standing up for good.
Well, Larry, you just led me right to where I want to go today, brother. Thank you. Is that Walt Myers? Is that who wrote that book, Walt Myers?
That is.
Yep. Listen, there's a lot of guys out there with a lot of plans, and I'm not. I have a connection with Walt Myers. Goes back probably 10, maybe 12 years. Not a tight one, but I became aware of Walt Myers a while ago. And there are a lot of people out there with good plans, but see, we don't cooperate. We don't work together here, right? We don't work together. I'm going somewhere. Hang on. I look at they're talking about the midterm elections coming up. Folks, if any Democrat gets elected, any Democrat would get elected. That tells us we are in dire straits. How could people be that confused? And you know me, I'm not a Republican pom-pom guy. I ain't one of those. That's for sure. But holy smokes. I got a guy on my Facebook page. It says he continues to. He just continues to bash Trump. He's a Democrat. He's a Catholic Democrat. And he said, I always vote pro-life. I vote for the pro-life Democrat. I thought, you're full of crap, man. You are full of crap. Pro-life Democrat? What are you talking about? Listen. So here's the problem. Are you ready? I was having a conversation yesterday. Jared, go to John 3. Not First John, John 3. Hey, boys and girls, here's a question. And I think we would be shocked if we were all to answer this one. You ready? Are you born again? Not are you saved? Not have you accepted Jesus as your savior? Not that you made the decision. Are you born again? Because I'm going to tell you something. I don't think many people are. I think it's a lot fewer than we realize. I think we have a lot of people who have a form of a religion
here's what I was going to do today when I first came down the steps. The Lord's kind of put a halt on it. Well, I wonder if I were to ask you right now, if I were to go down through this list of 46 people in here in the queue, and I would say, hey, do me a favor. Tell me your conversion story. I wonder how many of you could. I'm going to give you mine here in a minute. Because when it happened to me, I'll never forget that day. See, my conversion, my being born again, wasn't a journey. No. I can close my eyes right now and I can see right where I was when it happened. And then when I got up from that altar, I got up a brand new transformed guy. Now, I've been working out my salvation with fear and trembling. I didn't know it all, but I know this, that when I got up, I left that old guy behind me. Now, he kept chasing after me, and I have to kept knock him off. But I know, and I can point to the time when that happened. Are you in John 3, Jared? There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, that came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. And Jesus said unto him, listen, dude, I'm telling you the truth. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I'm out of it. Are you born again? Now, did you walk an aisle and say a prayer? Do you have a form of godliness on you? Are you walking and living your life in fear? Are you having trouble putting down old sins, making excuses for them? I can't. You know, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm a Christian, but I still watch porn. And yeah, oh, I'm a Christian. Yeah, but I have a cigarette every 15 minutes. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, I'm going to ask you again. Are you born again, man? Are you born again? Because if you're born again, then somebody hadn't explained to you what that means. Because you sure ain't walking in it. Nicodemus said unto him, how can I do that, man? How can you get back inside your mom? You can't enter into your mother's womb and be born. Jesus said, listen, dude, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone that is born of the Spirit. Are you born again, or are you just religious? I'm talking to you. Do you have a salvation, born again, transformation story? Do you have one? I run into guys. I was talking to a guy yesterday who, for whatever reason, I was going to say this to him. He got himself in seminary because he wanted to serve the Lord. Well, listen, when I got born again, I had no desire to go to no seminary. No desire to go to no seminary. That's for sure. And I wonder how many guys in the seminaries who come out of the cemeteries are even born again themselves. I wonder that. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And you know what they are most of all? They're tyrants and they're cowards. For the most part, they're people who like to rule over others. And the reason they rule over others is because they're cowards. Somebody say amen. You know any guys standing in the pulpits like that? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Okay, thanks. Because they're not born again. They're not born again. Are you born again? Or are you just, do you find yourself, are you scared all the time? Are you wondering what people think all the time? Are you cowering? Are you afraid to wear a cross hat? Are you afraid to stand up? Are you afraid to speak up? Are you born again? Are you even born again? I don't think people are. Now I don't know how to explain this one, okay? I don't know how to explain the whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't know how to explain it, but I'm going to tell you, I know there are many who have called upon the name of the Lord and I don't know if they're saved. Because there's something that has to happen. Remember, this is a spiritual transformation. It's not just a fleshly walk an aisle and say a prayer. It's a spiritual transformation. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless you've done this, unless you do this first step, you can't get any of it, man. You can't get any of it.
Dave?
Yeah.
I'm on my third cup of coffee, so I'm kind of wound up this morning. But
okay. Here's
a question I have for you in the huddle. You know, we've all been to those funerals where the comment is, he never had an enemy. Everybody liked him. And I think, you know, as a born-again believer, I think we should have some enemies. We should have some people who don't like us.
Friendship with the world is enmity with Christ, it says.
But if I've been to one funeral, I've been to 20 where it's, you know, they're good people. I know they're just saying nice things at times, but a true Bible believer will offend some people for the gospel. They will offend some people for biblical truth. You're going to have some people who really don't like you and publicly say that.
If they hated Jesus, they're going to hate you.
Amen.
The difference is, Coach, some people go out with the intention to offend. To be born again is holiness. Your life has become holy unto God. You quoted before earlier Sermon on the Mount 6:9, where Jesus says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The Catholics continue to preach, Thy kingdom come, and you stopped it when you said on earth. The question is, as it is in heaven, it's how is it in heaven? In heaven, it is holy. Hallowed be thy name. Holy be thy name. God is holy. His word is holy. His spirit is holy. Everything about God is holy. And that's how it needs to be on earth. Holy. We can't fight like the enemy fights. We have to fight God's ways. We have to fight with holiness. We can't roll up our sleeves and want to fight like they fight. It's a different fight we fight, Coach.
But sure. Nick, you're not telling me that when Jesus said, I came with a sword and I'm going to divide, you're not going to tell me that holiness means we don't stand up against evil, are you?
I'm telling you, Jesus is going to come and do the fighting. Jesus is going to clean everything up, not me.
Well, he uses man throughout the Bible as well as in today's world. You can't argue that.
Yeah, the Jews were looking for that man that would clean up the Romans. And who did they choose? Barabbas or Jesus?
Well, I would just politely disagree with that assessment.
I don't say to be weak and not stand up for what's right and not stand up for truth. And not stand and preach the word of God like he commands us to do. But I say, never forget what God is, and God is holy. And that's what he asked us to be. Be ye holy, for I am holy. No man shall see the kingdom of heaven without holiness.
Hey, let me ask you this, Roger.
A characteristic of holiness, standing up for his word and taking on evil as a person that loves him and respects his word and wants to obey, is that part of holiness?
The characteristic of holiness is separation from sin.
Jared, pull up holiness in Webster's.
If God is holy, his actions
it's
are
separate from sin.
His actions against evil mankind are holy.
Well, absolutely.
Our holiness should
that couldn't be more plain in the Bible.
God is light and no darkness at all.
Hey, Coach, the word holiness in the New Testament is the Greek word for sanctification, which is to be set apart. Simple definition.
Yes,
we have been purchased. We have been purchased with a price, not of gold and silver. Kind of compare it to a toothbrush. When I buy a toothbrush, that toothbrush is mine, and it's for my use, and it's for one purpose only. Sanctification, I've been bought by Christ with one purpose, his goal only.
Amen. Amen. So Dale, when the scripture says, for him who, see, holiness is more than behavior, folks, the do's and the don'ts. The scripture says that for him who knows to do good and not to do it, to him it is sin. So unholiness would be shrinking, shirking our responsibility to do that which is good. That's holiness as well. And if I know that unborn babies
are dying in the abortion clinic, and I choose not to do anything about it, how is that holiness? Can somebody explain that one to me? It's more than just don't drink, don't smoke, don't cuss. It's more than that.
Hey, Coach, you know what? I once heard one of those six-foot popsicles stand behind a pulpit and say that it's the spirit that does this. It's the spirit that, well, it's the God in us. It's the Holy Spirit of the one true living God in us that causes us to act, that causes us to do things and get out there and to fight. The church has been sitting there saying, well, Jesus is coming and he'll take care of it. Jesus is coming. God will deal with it. God will provide. But he does so through his own. If he dwells within us, then we are his tools. We are his vessels. So we are the ones that need to get out there and fight and push back and clean it up.
We are his body. Amen. We are his body. It is through us that he moves, right? He moves through us. So Paul, who wrote the New Testament, who wrote all this stuff, Paul, who said he was crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, Paul impacted the culture. He tried to impact the culture. He didn't just say, let Jesus clean it up in the end. And he went to jail because he was trying to impact the culture. And the reason I say that we don't try to impact the culture, number one, we're cowardly, okay? Number two, we have a misunderstanding completely of what holiness is all about. See, you cannot drink and you cannot smoke and you cannot watch porn and call yourself holy and look away from stuff you ought to be doing and you are not holy. If holiness is only in behavior, then it's a form of religion where you are trying to work your way into heaven. Now, some of you, that's going to make mad. That's what I say. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. If the Lord were going to choose, this is just me talking. If the Lord were going to choose for me whether I was an alcoholic, a Christian drunk, that ain't holy, or a Christian who ignores my brother as being stumbled, where the weak are being led to slaughter. Would the Lord rather I be a drunk or ignore these things that I could be doing something about? Because brothers and sisters, ain't neither one of those things holy. Neither one of them. And so we can't just take holiness and make it about what we don't do. Yes, ma'am. Come on in.
Okay. Now, the Washington, D.C., you look at all of those monuments, okay? They are, the Freemasons have the statues for Baal or Baal, however you want to say it in Hebrew or whatever, still same meaning devil, okay?
Right.
How come these snowflakes aren't knocking down those statues? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
This is in our face. This is in our face. They're laughing at us, okay? How come no one's dealing with the monuments in Washington, D.C. that are totally demonic?
Hey, man, let's pull down the Washington's monument.
I'm in. That's no bullshit. I'm sorry. I'm in.
Hey, so, Coach.
The verse you've been referring to, James chapter 4, verse 17, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, this verse started off with therefore. So let's look before to find out why for the therefore. And we find out at the beginning of that chapter, it says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God?
Boy, there it is, Larry.
Therefore, you know something is good to do, and you don't go do the good, you sin. If it's good to stand up in front of somebody trying to harm your little baby granddaughter, and you don't punch him in the stupid nose, then you're sinning when you don't step up and defend your defenseless granddaughter.
So, Larry, holiness as applied here says that it is applied to humans. A holiness is purity of heart, not do's and don'ts, purity of heart or dispositions, sanctified affections, piety, moral goodness, but not perfect. See, and so I agree wholeheartedly. We should abstain from these things that are not pleasing to the Lord. But just doing that don't make you holy. It's your affection. What's your heart towards? Yes.
Okay, the word holy in the Greek, it is a masculine noun. Right there just makes me want to stop. It's masculine. It's not feminine. And it is the use of the believer being progressively transformed by the Lord into his likeness.
Wow. Are you born again? See? Some of you aren't even born again. Some of you folks out there, it's me for a while. You're just as religious as you can be. You look like it. You smell like it. You ain't even born again. You're not even born again. Now, can you tell me, if I were to ask you right now, if I were to go down there and say, hey, tell me your born again experience. Hey, Pastor Dale, can you testify? Can you tell me, Dale, your born again experience?
December 5th, 1989 at 9:05 at night.
What happened, man?
Brother, let me tell you what. At that point, I was sitting at a kitchen table, and I remember it as a movie, brother. And I remember when the Lord, I repented because I realized I was the sinner, that I had violated God in every one of his commandments. And I fell upon that rock and was broken. Brother, December 5th, 1989 at 9:05 at night, God delivered me from crack cocaine. God delivered me from marijuana. God delivered me from, I mean, in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye.
Hey, folks, do you have a story like this? Somebody else got a story like that, can come in here and tell me their born again experience. Anybody have one of those experiences, or have you just heard about them? Have you just walked an aisle? Did you walk an aisle and say a prayer and then fall away and continue to do those same things that you did? Will your affections change? When I got up from that altar, when I walked away, behold, everything had become new. I went to work the next day and I said, Lord, I got to get out of this place. I can't get away from me. I'm everywhere I look. Things I used to do and things I used to say, Lord, I don't want to live like that. The next day I felt that way. I was transformed that next day, and I worked it out. It took me a long time to work out my own salvation. But I can tell you the time, the place, the moment when I was born again. Can you?
Hey,
somebody else tell me that?
I've got one. 15 years old, Fellowship of Christian Athletes Conference downtown. I remember giving my life to Christ at that moment. Things changed in my heart. I felt it. And then I started walking a life that had some ups and downs. But here's what I'll say about that for myself. I've been in every youth group church I've been in. I've been in every conference men can have. I don't remember half the stuff that took place. But I remember February like 12th when I was 15 when I got saved. It has never gone away.
Yeah. See, you don't have to remember the exact date. Dale did. God bless Dale. I don't remember the exact date, but boy, I can point to it. Are you guys born again? Some of you out there, are you even born again?
I can tell you. I can share with you. I can remember Easter Sunday, 1971. That goes back a long way. When my first son was born, we were invited to a Christian church, and I was approached by a guy who was a chemist. I can remember him. He had white silver hair. He started talking to me because he was a former Catholic. I came from a Catholic background, and he challenged me with questions from the Baltimore Catechism that I could not disagree with. That Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He asked me seven leading questions, and at the end he said, "Is there any reason why you wouldn't want to accept Christ?" I could not think of a reason why. And I prayed that prayer right there. I can remember going home feeling like a load of bricks was lifted off my shoulders. I was totally changed.
Jared, 1 Corinthians 10. Thank you, Glenn.
Anybody hey, Coach.
Testimony? Huh?
Hey, Coach. Whenever you talked about were you born again? And do you remember? Immediately took me back when I received Christ, and I remember the exact day, the exact moment, and how it happened, and just something inside of me. And one thing I want to say, guys, use that as a landmark, because the enemy will come in and try to come in and convince you that you're not. But if you go back to that point and you remember what you first felt, there's a song that says, "Take me back, dear Lord, take me back to the place where I first received you."
Amen.
Remember that. Remember that, because the enemy will try to come in and convince you that you're not. And I'm just saying, when you said that, Coach, it just brought back memories to me. And I'm telling you what, God's doing something in me this morning before I walk into this building to go to work. Thank you.
How about this? What the word says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. All right, are you joyful today over your salvation? Is that the joy of the Lord your strength every day? You're not born again. You may not be born again. You don't have to walk an aisle and say a prayer. You can get down on your knees right now where you live. You can drive, you can pull your car over to the side of the road and say, Lord, I don't know what it is. My whole life I've been in church. I've been trying to follow all these rules. I know the King James Bible inside and outside. But Lord, I ain't got no power. There's no power in my life. Lord, I want to be born again. That's all you need to do. And then embrace it and walk in it. Hang on to it.
Hey, Coach.
See, we want to get, hang on, George. People want to get born again and stay the same. You can't be born again and stay the same. Do you understand how many people hate me? Do you have any idea the transformation that's taken place in my life? And people look around me and say, what happened to Coach? He got religion. Oh, no. He got religion. No. I got born again. I got transformed. I didn't walk an aisle and say a prayer. I got transformed. Go ahead, George.
Coach, I'm 15 years old, Northview Bible Church, Spokane, Washington. Sunday school teacher. Gave the gospel message. I repented, accepted Christ. And you know, just like probably a lot of people, man, I've been working out my salvation since then, because you know what? There's times I wanted to get back up on the throne and kind of do things my way. But you know what? Every time I did that, every time I sinned, every time I fell short, I felt guilty. I felt convicted. And you know, yeah, it wasn't probably because of the last few years, honestly, that I said, Lord, I want to sell out for you. I realized that Jesus hated absolutely all. And now, just like for my earthly dad, I want to please him, not because I have to, but because I love him. Now I want to please my Father, and we're saved unto good works. I want to do good works because I know that pleases the Father, not because it's going to get me into heaven. So you know what? We do work out our salvation, and so it's not a sign of being perfect, but we should be progressing. If we're no further at age 50 than we were 15, something's wrong.
Okay, so there's something wrong here, George. Thank you, man. Hey, I'm in 1 Corinthians 10. I asked Jared to pull this up, verse 13. Now, I want you to think, in your desire to be holy, walk in holiness, are you backbiting about people? Are you undermining this? Are you being honest in all your dealings? Oh, you aren't, but you have an outward appearance of being holy? Huh? You don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't cuss, but boy, inside your heart, you're doing stuff that, if everybody knew it. So here's what I know. If this is you, see, there is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. Everybody's tempted in the same. Everybody's tempted. Some more other areas. We can get into the spiritual dimension of that. I don't want to, but here, look at this. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. But with the temptation, also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Maybe you can't get over that porn. Maybe you're not really born again. Maybe you can't stop smoking those cigarettes because you're not really born again. Oh, you said a prayer. You walked down an aisle. You did that. But if I understand this right, you got no excuse for any sin that you're doing. You got no excuse for it. And the only reason that you continue in sin is, number one, you're not born again, or number two, nobody told you what it means to be born again.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
One of the most important questions I think that any person can ask of themselves, about themselves, or of others is, who are they? Are they a child of God, or are they a child of Satan? And that's, I believe, you know, those of you that over the last couple of years have been listening to the input that the Spirit has had me give here on the show, if you trust any of the things that I've ever said, please go to the chat. There's a link there. I just put it in. That link is a logic trail. I believe the Holy Spirit gave me a week or so ago, and it is designed, and the Spirit gave to me, I believe, for the purposes for anybody to go down that logic trail and find out, who are they? Are they a child of God, or are they a child of Satan? and please use that logic trail in your ministry. Use that logic trail in your witnessing, because a lot of times people will use an inanimate object like a computer or something like that to search themselves out more so than they will in the company of a person. You know, maybe a little bit of embarrassment or something. Yeah. But use that logic trail for the purpose that I believe the Holy Spirit gave it to me.
So, folks, listen to this. Very simple question. Thanks, Larry. Very simple question. They talk about holiness living. I'm a holiness preacher, I hear people say. I believe in holiness. Let me ask you something. Can you be born again of the Spirit of God and not be holy? If you've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless you live, but not you, but Christ lives now in you. The life that you now live, you live by the great Son of God who died and gave himself for you. Can you be born again and not walk in holiness? And what is holiness? As we just read, it's read out. It has to do with moral character. That's what holiness is. Holiness, being conformed to the image of God. As crazy as this sounds, I don't know what I would think about Jesus if I saw him on the street corner smoking pot. I just don't know. And as a representative of Jesus, should I be out standing on the street corner smoking pot? Probably not. Probably shouldn't. If I'm a representative of Jesus, would I go to Jesus and have him hire him to do some work for me at my house and then have him do it sloppy? Would Jesus put a lousy roof on my house? Would he do that? I don't think so. Well, why would you? See, it's not about don't drink, don't smoke. Do you understand? It is transforming ourselves. Christ makes you holy, folks. You don't make yourself holy. Christ sanctifies you. You don't sanctify yourself.
Hallelujah.
Christ does that. See, Christ does that. And all we have to do is walk in the confirmation of that holiness that he has prescribed upon us. We are holy. We are holy. Walk in the holiness. Walk in it.
And that's coach, I believe.
Go ahead, Dale. Sorry.
No, brother. Listen, I believe for many who listen to the show, part of it is about going back and reading Revelation chapter 2 and that letter to the church in Ephesus. I know your works and I know your deeds and I know you hate those who are not apostles. But he said, remember therefore in verse 5, where thou hast fallen. Who's he speaking to? Speaking to the believer. Remember where thou hast fallen and repent and do the first works. Brother, there's something about people start the race. Paul says, who has hindered you from finishing this? I go to Jeremiah. If we knew that we had only 5 months left in our life to live, what would we do with our life? What would we do as a Christian?
Amen. Amen. I got to wrap this thing up. And listen, being born again, that's between you and the Lord. Scripture says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I say, hey, Jesus, save me. Is that it? It doesn't have to come out of a broken and contrite heart. Lord, I don't really want to live like that. I don't really want to be this way. Lord, please transform me. And see, what happens is people walk the aisle, say the prayer, and they don't even understand what happened. I can name 100 I know like that who claim to be Christians. They walked an aisle. They said a prayer when they were 13 years old. And somebody's convinced them they're saved. They're not born again. I don't know. I don't want to get into a theological discussion. Can you be saved and not born again? Can you receive Christ and not be born again? Can you? Evidently, Jesus said you got to be born of this water and of the Spirit. You got to be born both. Being born again is a spiritual event, folks. Not a mental ascension to a higher calling. It's a spiritual event. And I pray right now today that some of you will call upon the name of the Lord, be transformed. You can do it right where you are right now, in your car, on your way to work,
Lord, I don't understand it, but Lord, I want to be transformed. Lord, I walked an aisle and I said a prayer when I was 12, but Lord, I and not much going on in my life. Lord, transform me now. Let me be born again now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.